What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Louisiana's governor had a news conference today in which he told us that we should expect more freezing weather tonight with a possible pipe-bursting hard freeze, and that while they made a lot of progress clearing roads today, he expects to see icy conditions across the state once again tonight with that hard freeze. He says it will likely not be until Friday that the Bonnie Carey Spillway and the Twin Spans will reopen and that the I-10 through Metro New Orleans will be open once again. So today is Wednesday. We got to get through another hard freeze tonight, then hopefully a lot of progress tomorrow and everything back to normal on Friday. I'm Dave Cohen along with Mike Dettillier. And Ali Cosell joins us, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. And Ali, the Pelicans were supposed to be playing right now, but thanks to this winter storm, they just couldn't make it happen at the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, look, we had the feeling yesterday all day that today there would be no game, right? When you see how much snow come down and you know New Orleans just simply doesn't have, you know, the salt, the trucks, the manpower to take care of the streets simply because there's no need for it, right? I mean, what was the longest, or excuse me,
it's
the biggest?
It's been 130 years since we've seen this kind of snow.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
18.
There you go.
And so, yeah, there really wasn't a decision to be made, huh?
No, not really. I mean, from what I heard is that a lot of the people that depend on local transportation to get to the game, obviously the RTA, they were out today. So if you can't get the ushers in, the people working concessions and such, well, you can't really hold a game, right? Even though you wouldn't have expected a lot of fans to show up, still, you need to be able to hold the game. And, of course, you got to be able to make sure that you can ensure, right, the sidewalks be clear, ice-free. And so there's a lot of negligence issues that probably would have arisen had you tried to hold a game. So, no, it just made all the sense in the world. Just postpone it for now.
Yeah, Ali, you know, we were talking about this before, that almost like when we saw this weather yesterday, it was like, oh, they're not playing this game tomorrow. But, man, when you're winning, okay, because they got a four-game winning streak now, and you've covered this for a long period of time, man, you want to get back on the court or you want to get back on the football field or baseball diamond, whatever. You want to get back on because you're winning and you feel as though, hey, we got some confidence now. And especially the way they won the last game where, man, in the first quarter against the Jazz, they were half asleep. And the Jazz, you know, doubled the score on them. And then you saw them make that late run and make it four in a row. I guess the best way to put it is, man, I'd want to play tonight. I mean, I understand why you can't, but I would want to be back on that court because now you almost feel like, hey, I'm playing with a little bit of house money. Nobody's giving us a shot. Let's get back out there and you play in the Bucks, who, you know, they've had a bit of an erratic ride this year also, that you want to get back on the court because you see glimpses here of what we thought we would see before the season started.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, this is easily the best stretch of the season for the Pelicans, right? You mentioned the four-game winning streak. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. And everything's pointing upwards in terms of the players playing. Right now, CJ's playing well. Trey Murphy's playing like an all-star for the last month. So both of those guys are averaging, say, about 24 points a game over these last 10 games. And you've added Zion. Right? Zion finally came back from his hamstring strain. DeJounte Murray, now he's playing better. Right? He got off that awful start for the Pelicans. Couldn't make a shot, really. Was very turnover-prone, but over the last couple of weeks, he's figured it out. So suddenly, you potentially have 4 stars out there on the court every single night. And that's not counting Brandon Ingram, who's still out, right? And Herb Jones, he's a question mark to come back for the season. But I will say, Mike, there's kind of a silver lining to not playing tonight. Outside of the Pelicans' 4-game winning streak, the next best winning streak, that's the Bucks, right? They also had a 4-game winning streak. So those two teams, biggest winning streaks in the NBA, so they were going to come in kind of hot. Moreover, you weren't sure if tonight Zion and Eve Missy could have played, right? Because they missed the last game due to a non-COVID illness, and it would have been probably questionable to play tonight as well. So you give those guys some more extra rest, the whole team extra rest. And I think those good vibes you're talking about, players wanting to play when they're playing well, I guarantee you that's going to carry over. It's not going to go away. Just like losses, you know, that kind of maybe sit in your head, wins, that still carries you through the day too.
What about Friday's game going up against Memphis and the Grizzlies? We've seen them make some strong runs, and then they kind of cool a little bit, and then they make another strong run at it. Your thoughts on the matchup between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies is a tough one, right? They've jumped back into contention for potentially a nice championship run this year. Right, last year, they got decimated. All those injuries they suffered, finished poorly, didn't even get in the play-in tournament. And, of course, they're having that bounce-back season because prior to last season, they looked like to be one of the best Western teams that were going to be around for the next 10 years or so, right, behind Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson. But they took that step back last year, and due to that, they were able to draft Zach Edey. So it's pretty much a well-rounded team, right? You look at them, they've got size, speed, and, boy, do they play fast. That's going to be the biggest thing for the Pelicans. This team loves to get out and put 140 points on you, get as many transition points as possible. So this matchup is kind of scary, right? Pelicans are going to play a legitimate, like I said, a top three team in the NBA, especially here in the Western Conference. So they're going to have to be, basically no letdowns, right? What you saw against the Utah Jazz, falling behind by 21 points, 25 for the game. You can't allow yourself to dig that big of a hole and then expect to come back against a caliber team. So it's going to take, and hopefully Zion can play, take that all your stars show up. That usually always helps, right? Everybody gives you about 18 to 20 points or so. And, of course, the defense, which has been playing better too, they show up as well, right? Don't let Memphis get, say, 30 easy points in transition.
You know, you got a couple of players sick. That's something, and then they've been sick for a few days now with Zion and Misi. How are they doing? Are they okay?
Yeah, I know. Fortunately, it wasn't COVID related, right? So you've got to think that probably by now they're all feeling better, especially Eve, because he had missed the previous two. Zion just the last one. So from what I'm hearing, it wasn't anything significant, at least for Zion. So we all fully expect for him to play against Memphis.
Ollie, when you look at Memphis, I thought before the season that they were sort of the blueprint of what the Pelicans wanted to be.
Yes.
A team that would run the court fast, you know, get out those threes, score a lot of transition points. And I still have a feeling that's what they want to be like. They want to be and play a lot like the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the stats from the last 10 games, because let's face it, these are the stats that are most important for should be for Pel fans, because this is where you've had the legitimate core group of your players available, right? Those first, you know, 2 months, you have Brandon Ingram largely by himself, right, with a bunch of other guys, none of these key guys. So now the last 10 games, what you're seeing from the stats is the fact that the Pelicans are right there, over 43s a game, and going into the last game, they were actually first in three-point attempts for the month of January. Now I think they've slipped to fourth, but you understand what I'm trying to say. They're still way up there, exactly what you want to see. And it makes all the sense in the world, right? You've got Trey Murphy, CJ. Now DeJounte Murray shooting better. You've got Jordan Hawkins off the bench. You've got a lot of good three-point shooters. So you should always be shooting at least 43s per game. And, of course, in transition, yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. And you've got a steamroller like Zion who, you know, let's face it, nobody can guard him one-on-one. And he's so fast, can grab his own rebound, push that ball. And then you've got DeJounte who's slick now. And basically, the Pelicans almost have two point guards on the team out there. When they were missing, you know, what, 20-odd games, Pelicans really suffered, right, to get those easy points. Now that these guys are back, they're scoring in bunches. I want to say the Pels are in the top three in transition points, fast break points, top three, top five since, you know, all these guys have come back. So they are playing like Memphis for right now.
And we will see how well they can play like Memphis against Memphis coming up. Ali, thanks so much for joining us. Should be an exciting stretch here for the Pelicans. Let's hope we're seeing the team on the court now that we thought we'd see when this season started.